Hi everyone, weekly stock market update. This is the public version, of course. The private 107 slide version is on the will be on the Great Investments Program private Telegram channel. Now let's look at the valuations. Same as, of course, they don't change week to week. Sometimes people forget that valuations don't change week to week. So you're paying $31 for every $1 of future profits in Microsoft. And same with Amazon, you're paying a lot. So we'll try and keep an eye on some of these sectors. Remember, I do a very much bottom-up approach. Top-down means you look at which country and then which sector and then which company. Whereas I think, well, if you're going to end up with companies, why not start there? Okay, so I take a bottom-up approach. Companies are factories for making money. I don't care which country they are in. It just so happens I get ample choice from the US, but I can look at US and UK and Europe if I wanted to. It's just that I've got enough, rather like Warren Buffett, I've got enough to make my returns. In terms of sectors, yeah, all other things being equal, I'd rather have a company in a cheaper sector as long as it can compensate me for lower growth, which is why we look at value, growth, income, cash flow, Sortino Alpha, and not just valuation alone, which is a mistake a lot of people make. They get all this kind of hearsay off of journalists in magazines and so on and say, yeah, well, that company's overvalued, so I won't have it. And then, of course, they wonder why their pension's not performing, because growth is also important to stock price improvements. If you don't believe me, just have a look at some of the work of Nobel Prize winning economists such as Eugene Fermer, Richard Thaler, Daniel Kahneman. Amazon, also expensive. Tesla, also expensive, but they're not the only things we're going to look at. So we'll have a look in this at financials, in particular communications, energy if it comes up, and healthcare and how they're doing. Some of the things we're going to cover here is going to be Microsoft. You can see it's been doing incredibly well. One of the few things where I have got 2x leverage, including in my son's junior ISA, which somebody asked me and I mentioned. Do be careful with leverage. If you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. But I just wanted to share that aspect because it had come up in a call earlier. We'll look at the S&P in a second, NASDAQ. Apple, as you know, I got out of 15% of it. 50% of my holding of it after it dropped some 15% from its peak. But it's one of those companies which I anticipate I will buy back into at some point, but I'll go into detail in a second. Nvidia, what do you do when a company is going purely on momentum? It's obviously just skyrocketing, not based on valuation. Well, you could argue it's valuation, but that's too much of a narrative story. Growth, of course, is in there, so is income. But momentum's the thing that makes something go up 10% in a week, obviously. Alphabet, and who's that one hiding back there? Amazon as well, amongst the others. So, like I said, it's really critically important you understand you're not just trying to tick one box and gamble on value alone, because that would mean you're ignoring other important factors that move stock prices. Even common sense will tell you that revenue growth and sales growth are important, combined with valuation, combined with the ability to generate income anyway overall. For you through dividends, for instance. None of that guarantees the prices will move up, and there are exceptions to all of that. But we don't care about the exceptions as long as our little football team is winning. In other words, generating us the kinds of returns that we want. Cash return on capital invested, that comes from Goldman Sachs Wealth Management's R&D division, their quantum database used by their teams to say, well, 30% per annum is what the pot of stocks generate on average, which are in the top quartile by cash return on capital invested. And then you've got Momentum, Sortino, Alpha. Okay, somebody asked me, do I only look at US? Well, for mine, I do, because it has my hands full. However, as you'll know, my whole database is 10,000 companies, which is all the ones I can put in my SIP or ISA, which are UK, US, European, and any global companies listed, such as Chinese companies listed on the New York Stock Exchange, because I don't want to go out and buy Shanghai quoted companies because I don't fancy owning Chinese yuan. If you want to do that, wonderful. You're more adventurous than me. Take the next flight out to Shanghai and they'll look after you. I've got 18 books and columns that I've written on that subject, actually, on why I don't want a multitude of cross-border currencies. I'm fine with just having US dollar and obviously sterling. And I'm not changing my dollars every day, so I'm not worried about the currency risk. I'm planning to hold these for many years. So I'm holding dollars for many years, which I don't think in many years from now is about to collapse relative to the pound. Microsoft over the past week is up Alphabet, Apple, now just shows you these were the ones which were all red on valuation, weren't they? Whereas the ones which were green, well, they didn't go up. Energy did. So we will keep an eye on energy, of course, and financials, telcos. But what did really badly? Well, it's been a rotation out of, is what I would say in my old days of Bloomberg, a rotation this week out of semiconductors, probably just temporary. Broadcom dropping 10% in a week. Qualcomm off some 4%. Nvidia taking a bit of a breather for a change. that's where we are at the moment. People obviously taking profits. Costco off there. But then some of the other tech companies doing incredibly well. So let's take a deeper dive into all of those, shall we? These are the exchange-traded funds. I've said in the past, I will at some point do a video purely on exchange-traded fund crypto. That boat sailed, and then it comes back to port, and then it sells again. So don't worry about that. And probably on country-specific ones as well. I first wrote about exchange-traded funds in my Financial Times column in 1999. So I'm an old hand at all of that. Markets year to date, where are we on those? The S&P's up 8%, the NASDAQ 7%, and the UK market's up 1%. Great. Well, 1% ain't going to pay those little bills, is it? Now, how's about the sectors? Now, as I said, I'm not top down, so I don't try and gamble on picking the right sector or picking the right country. I try and pick the right company, okay? But just so you know where the gains are coming from this year so far, they continue to be technology, financials, energy, and communications. Healthcare is up there as well, and so are industrials, so we mustn't neglect those. Real estate certainly isn't. Why? I don't care why. What I care about is the data and making money off it. Okay, when you start getting involved in the narrative and selling yourself on stories, that's when you've got a problem. It's something I lectured on as a visiting fellow at Oxford University, the area of behavioral finance. And the reason I mention that is because sometimes people might think I'm saying these things without formal qualification on it. So I just want you to know that the cognitive biases that result in people making mistakes in investing are real and they're common. Momentum has been a driver, so in particular has growth, for instance. So has, well, that one, large caps and mid caps. Growth, but momentum as a factor. Now, as I've said before, the start of the year, when those horses set off, I didn't know which ones were going to win, and I don't gamble on horses. But what I did know and think I want to do is tick the momentum box, the value, the growth, the income, the cash flow, the Sortino, and the Alpha. That way, if momentum wins, then we'll have a small subset of companies which tick that box and all the others, but momentum importantly, and it'll do well. Equally, if growth wins, then we'll have a subset of companies which tick the growth box and the others, and therefore will do well. That's how you bet, not on individual horses, but basically on the winning ones. You look for winning characteristics. Markets over the past 1 year, 51% up on the NASDAQ. Ask yourself, is your pension up that much? I get people saying, well, I know, but I don't want that kind of return, Alpesh. I'm waiting for a different market and the US to crash, and then I'll be happy. I don't know if that's going to happen again next year. Or the S&P will be up, as in 2024, and the S&P will be up 33, but it is at the moment. So what did you do? Well, you stayed in your UK companies, and you got one-fifth of what the Americans did, or a third, or a half, but you got nowhere near what they did. Now, top 10 S&P 500 stocks, I'll talk about some of these, I think, as we go forward. Some of the worst performers, I don't bottom pick. I will mention Tesla, which we don't own. We got out of that in October after a 55% gain last year, so I'll talk about that in a second, how and why we knew. The FTSE 100 ones, the big risers over the past month, just there for your interest, and the big fallers over the past month, just there for your interest. So let's start off with the S&P 500, which I'll do in part two of this, because I've got to keep it under 10 minutes for social media. So watch out for video part two. If you can't find it, alpeshpatel.com/links. I'll see you in part two.